From the Love We're Finding studios in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm Byron Tyler, here with the CEO of Love We're Finding, Carrie Vaughn. Carrie, today we jump into part two with Adrian Rogers, The Simplicity of Salvation. I want to encourage our friends to get their Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 16, verses 23 through 31.
It's all about salvation. Everything else is bells and whistles. Isn't that correct?
That is correct, Carrie. You know, some people try to make salvation complicated. I like what Adrian Rogers once said about putting the cookies on the bottom shelf so the kids can reach them, you know? And that's what salvation, there's a simplicity of the message that Jesus offers us.
Absolutely. And he was the best at really, when he preached, to make sure the message would connect. If you were 9 or 90, you understood the message and you understood the plan of salvation. I had a person call me just yesterday, Byron. Ron called me and we had a great conversation. He listens to our program. And I had the chance last night in my office over the phone to lead him to the Lord. And as I wrapped up that conversation, it hit me. You know, we do a lot of great things and we're a part of a wonderful ministry. But here's the deal. Without salvation, what good is it?
Wow, Carrie, what an exciting story to hear. You know, the Bible says the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul that comes to Christ. And so, I mean, we as believers should be celebrating too, right?
Byron, during that conversation last night, I told Ron, it all comes down to repentance, where we turn away from sin, we turn away from self, we turn away from a lifestyle. And here's the beautiful part. As Dr. Rogers would say, we turn all that we are over to all that he is. And that is salvation.
Yeah, that is definitely salvation. And this listener from Washington says, I thank you for the inspiring word of God that you share daily and the encouragement to trust Jesus. Again, Love We're Finding presenting, Let's Trust Jesus. That's the message.
That's the message. We point people to the cross, and then afterwards we come alongside them and we mature them in their faith. And that's a blessing.
Carrie, we're excited to offer to our listening friends this opportunity to go to our online store at lwf.org. You know, there's all kinds of resources made available from Adrian Rogers Ministry. And this month, there's free shipping.
Free shipping. Hey, that's the key word, free. Please take advantage of that and use those materials in a mighty way.
Well, with the Simplicity of Salvation Part 2, here's Adrian Rogers.
Now, I'm not putting a premium on ignorance or a penalty on intellectualism when I tell you, dear friend, that the gospel is simple. God wants it to be simple because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I believe that sometimes so many of the books on theology are written from one theologian to another theologian, and down here beneath are the people. And it's just all going over the head. It's like they're trying to play keep away with big, double-jointed, obtuse words. And God just kind of spells it out plain because He wants people to be saved. He wants people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, I want to give you a story in the Bible that makes it so plain and so clear how a person can know beyond the shadow of any doubt that he or she has been saved. Now let's begin to read this story. And it talks about Paul and Silas who have been put into prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right away we're going to break in the middle of a story because it's a long chapter. But what they had done is this, that they had delivered a demon-possessed girl who was a fortune teller. And there were some people who were prostituting this girl's ability to tell fortunes, were using her to make money. When Paul and Silas saved her, she got out of the fortune-telling business. And because of that, they trumped up false charges against Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas are thrown into prison. By the way, did you think if you served God, you wouldn't have any trouble anymore? Jesus didn't come to get us out of trouble. He came to get into trouble with us, amen? And so here they are, they're in trouble because they're in the will of God. Now notice verse 23, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. That is, they commanded him, don't you let these guys get away. Who, that is the jailer, having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison. not on the outside. He puts them down in the deepest part of the dungeon. And then as a double security, he made their feet fast in the stocks. That is, he locks them right in the chains. Now they're in the stocks. Their arms and their feet are locked there in the, or at least their feet are fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, an old friend, listen to what he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" The seven greatest words any preacher can hear anybody say or ask. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Now, I want us to talk about that. And first of all, I want us to think about the meaning of salvation. The meaning of salvation. What did he mean when he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" That word "saved" is the Greek word sozo. And it means deliverance. Deliverance from trouble. To be saved means to be delivered from trouble. To be saved out of difficulty. Well, what kind of trouble was he in? When he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" he wasn't talking about being saved from the earthquake. That was already over. He wasn't talking about being saved from the government that was going to punish him for letting the prisoners go, because none of the prisoners had fled. What was he talking about? What does it mean to be saved according to Bible terminology? Well, let an angel answer this. An angel said of the Lord Jesus, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." To be saved means to be saved from sin. That's what it means. When you're saved from sin. Now, sin is a word we don't use much anymore in modern terminology. People don't believe that the problem is sin, therefore they don't see the need to be saved from sin. They want to be saved from their difficulties. They want to be saved from their problems. But the Bible doesn't say you're saved from your difficulties and your problems. You are saved from sin. The word sin is out of date. We'll call it psychological maladjustment. We'll call it a mistake. We'll call it a misjudgment. We'll call it a glandular malfunction. We'll call it an economic accident. We will call it a stumble. But we don't like the word sin. Can you imagine going up to the UN and saying, "Gentlemen, the problem in the world is sin"? Can you imagine going to one of the great universities and saying, "The problem in the world is sin"? They'd laugh at you. They don't like the idea of sin. Because today we have become a generation of secularists and humanists. Do you know what they believe? That the problem with man is this, that man is the sum total of his environment and his bodily chemistry. That's all. Just the situation he lives in and just the chemistry of his mind. And so he is to be pitied, but not to be blamed. He may be ill, but he's not evil. He may be weak, but he's not wicked. He's like a computer that's just been programmed wrongly. But the Bible says that the problem is sin. It's sin. What is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. What is sin? Sin is failure to do good. What is sin? Sin is human goodness that keeps us from God's righteousness. Even our righteousness is as filthy rags in His sight. Now, what does it mean to be saved? It means to be saved from sin, from the penalty of sin. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. God has laid down His law, and law without penalty is only advice. And God is not giving advice. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. But when you're saved, thank God, the penalty of sin is gone. And no longer do we die and go to hell. We are saved from the penalty of sin. But more than that, we're saved from the pollution of sin. Remember again, we said that a person who is unsaved pollutes what he does because he himself is polluted. But when you're saved, not only does God say, I'll no longer send you to hell, God actually takes that sin out and He puts His righteousness in. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ. He gives us a new nature, and that pollution of sin is gone. Folks, it's not enough that you be kept out of hell. You need to be saved not only from the penalty of sin, but from the pollution of sin. I want to tell you that's what Augustus Toplady meant in that song, Rock of Ages, when he said, be of sin the double cure, save from wrath. And make me pure. Amen. Make me pure. You see, we're saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved from the pollution of sin. And we're saved from the power of sin. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. That's what the Apostle Paul says. And the devil has no authority. The world has no allurement. Sin has no attraction that the child of God cannot now overcome through Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory day by day. And we don't have to obey the demands of sin anymore, because now the Savior lives within us. That's what it means to be saved. And friend, one of these days we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. We're going to be taken out of this world to a place called heaven. And I believe in heaven. Some people believe that heaven is just some maudlin form of sentimentality. But Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where is he? In a place called heaven. And the Bible says, there shall in no wise enter into it, into heaven, anything that worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. And we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin to a place called heaven. And I don't mind telling you, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. Now listen, what does it mean to be saved? It means to be saved from sin, from sin. Second, not only the meaning of salvation, but I want you to think about the man of salvation. What did they say? Listen. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When they said Lord, they meant He's Master. When they said Jesus, they meant He's Mediator. When they said Christ, they meant He's Messiah. That's who He is. Master, Mediator, Messiah. Lord Jesus Christ. Lord means boss. You cannot be saved unless you're willing to make Him Lord of your life, unless you're willing to step off the throne and enthrone the Lord Jesus Christ. He becomes your master, your boss. You must confess Christ as Lord. That doesn't mean that you have the strength. It means that He has the strength, but you must be willing to say, Jesus, You're Lord. I crown You Lord of all. Lord, He's Master. Jesus, He is Mediator. The name Jesus is His earthly name. It means Jehovah saves. It speaks of one who died on the cross with His blood. You see, God can't just overlook your sin. In order for God to pardon your sin, that sin must be paid for. There was a man named Jesus. God became flesh. He took upon Him flesh. In His flesh, He died on the cross for our sins. They told this jailer, no doubt about it, that Christ paid the sin debt, and therefore He is Jesus, the Mediator. There's one God and one Mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Not only is He Master, not only is He Mediator, but He is Messiah. The word Christ is the Greek word for the Hebrew Messiah, which means God's anointed one, God's chosen one, God's sent one. There's no other way to be saved. God only has one Messiah. He only has one Christ. Oh, listen, friend, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. The Baptist church can't save you, and the Methodist church can't save you, and the Catholic church can't save you, and the Presbyterian church can't save you, but Jesus can save you. Jesus can save you. Or you say, well, I believe in the plan of salvation. I'm saved. No, you're not. You're not saved by the plan of salvation. You're saved by the man of salvation. His name is Jesus. You say, well, I've got a proper creed. Our creed can't save you. Christ will save you. Dear friend, salvation is not a creed, not a code, not a cause, not a church, but Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I'm telling you, dear friend, He is the universal Savior. And when this poor pagan said, what must I do to be saved? They didn't hold up good deeds. They didn't hold up good works. They held up Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, Master, Mediator, Messiah. Believe on Him. Now let's go to the last thing. I've talked about the meaning of salvation. I've talked about the man of salvation. Now let me talk to you very plainly and very simply about the method of salvation. How do you get saved? Again, it is so plain, it is so simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Can you make it plainer than that? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, what does it mean to believe? Not mere intellectual belief. The devils believe and tremble. They're certainly not saved. The Bible word believe means commit yourself. Not believe about Jesus, believe on the Lord Jesus. You say, what's the difference? Well, down in Florida, where I used to pastor, I had a deacon friend who's a very wealthy man, but he wouldn't fly on an airplane. I mean, He knew airplanes could fly because he's got eyes. He can see them fly, but he never would get on one. Now, this man had enough money, he could buy a ticket anywhere in the world and go and never miss the money. And he loved to travel, but everywhere he went, he drove his automobile. I said to him, Brother Doyle, you ought to fly. He said, not me. I said, well, why not? He said, I've just got a problem. He said, you see that thing? Talking about those airplanes. He said, now look. He says, intellectually, I know it can fly. But emotionally, I just can't get on. I just can't do it. And he would drive everywhere he went. But finally, one day, he said, I'm a grown man. Everybody else is flying. Statistically, it's probably safer to fly than to drive. He said, I am going to fly. And he bought a ticket. And he got on that airplane and buckled himself in. Now, I'm sure it was white knuckles all the way. But he made it. And now he flies everywhere. Now, what was the difference? Before, he believed about an airplane. When he got on, he believed on the airplane. Okay? That's it. What does the word believe on the Lord Jesus Christ mean? It means commit yourself to Jesus Christ. Just commit yourself to Him by faith, like a person gets on an airplane. And you'll be saved. And He'll do the saving. You supply the sinner. He supplies the Savior. And God, my friend, will save you, I promise you, on the authority of the Word of God. Now, the devil will come up to you and he'll say, well, it's not that simple. You do your part and God does His part. It's part works and part faith in Christ. That's a lie of the devil. And you'll never have the assurance of your salvation until you understand it's all of grace through faith. Listen to me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The moment anybody, are you listening? Anybody, any place, any time says, Lord Jesus, I trust you to save me, and means it, that person is saved instantaneously on the spot. I think I told you some while ago about a trip I was taking on an airplane. I sat down beside a very nice gentleman. He and I got into conversation. He knew who I was. He'd seen me preach on television. And we had a good time. He was a member of one of these denominations that believe you have to be baptized in order to be saved. And that baptism somehow accomplishes or helps to accomplish salvation. Now, he was a very sincere man. I didn't want to get in a big argument with him about it. I did want to witness to him. I didn't want to just club him over the head. So I thought, now, how can I do this? So I said to myself, well, we talked about teaching the Bible for a while. And I said, let me ask you a question. Do you ever share your faith? Oh, yes, I do. I said, well, I share mine too. And I said, I want you to tell me how you share your faith. And then I'm going to tell you how I share my faith. And I said, now, let's play a little game. Let's suppose that the pilot has just come on the intercom and told us this airplane is going down. I don't mean to a runway either. I mean, we're crashing. And let's suppose he told us that we have enough altitude to keep us in the air for 5 minutes. Now, let's suppose I'm a businessman who has been running around on his wife, a businessman who's been doing dishonest deals, who's been taking God's name in vain, and I'm sitting next to you. And the pilot makes that announcement, and I turn to you, and I say, sir, you're a Christian. And you say, yes, I am. And I say, well, I was raised in a Christian home, but I'm not a Christian. I know I've lived a sinful life, and now we're both about to die. Sir, before this plane hits the ground, can you tell me how I can be saved and go to heaven? I said, what would you tell that man? He said, well, you know, you've got to live a Christian life. I said, well, now, sir, I haven't done that. I was talking for, you know, the imaginary man. I said, you know, I've been unfaithful, and I've drunk, and I've lied, and I take God's name in vain. If I have to live a good life, no hope for me, because I haven't done that. Tell me, sir, how can I be saved? He said, well, I said, now, look, we got 2.5 minutes left. And do you know what he said to me? He's a dear man. It broke my heart for him to say this. He said, there wouldn't be any hope for you. Wouldn't be any hope for you. And of course, you understand his theology. If baptism is necessary for salvation, how's he going to baptize me in an airplane before we hit the ground? But I want to tell you, my dear friend, that I told him, I said, now let me tell you what I preach. I preach that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And whosoever means anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. And when you add any kind of condition, then you take the whosoever out of the Bible and you have to say, whosoever shall believe and shall be near water and shall have a preacher close enough, then that person can be saved. But I preach a gospel that I'm everlastingly glad that I can preach, and that is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did they tell this man when he asked this question? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah for that gospel. That's a wonderful gospel. I'm telling you today, with all of the unction, function, and emotion of my soul, if you will trust, if you will commit yourself to this Jesus today, He will save you from your sin.
If you will commit yourself to Jesus, He will save you from your sin. And if you have questions about the gospel, about who Jesus is, or how to place your faith in Him, we invite you to visit our Discover Jesus page at lwf.org/radio. You'll find resources there, materials, a video from Adrian Rogers that can answer questions you may have about your faith. Just go to lwf.org/radio and click on Discover Jesus. Remember, whosoever means anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. Share the gospel today. The world needs the beautiful, simple story of Jesus Christ. And be sure to join us next time when we'll learn how to measure a man according to the Bible. Hear it tomorrow, right here on Love Worth Finding.